You're listening to The Dream Show with Jane Theresa Anderson.
Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson. Now, one of the things I really love about interpreting dreams is that every dream, like every person, is totally unique. Some dreams are completely different. You know, you listen to a dream and you think, where on earth do you get a dream like that from? And other dreams have similar themes. You know, a lot of people may dream, for example, of tidal waves or losing teeth. But when you look into the individual dreams, there's individual detail. They're different. And so as a dream interpreter, I really love the fact that when I go to hear someone's dream, I never know what I'm going to hear. I have no idea at the outset where the dream is going, what it's going to mean. And I find that all very exciting. And so for my dose of excitement today and for your listening, we're going to Regina. Hello, Regina.
Hi, Jane. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm really well, thanks.
And have you been having any interesting, unique dreams?
Well, I've had a dream, probably about a week ago, that has stayed with me. So I thought it was a good one to bring to you and have a chat to you about as well.
Wonderful, that's true, because the dreams that do kind of hang in there and, you know, still last after a few days are the ones that are often begging for interpretation. So what did you dream?
Okay, well, I dreamt that it was nighttime and that I was actually living in one of those old red brick walled shed buildings that are like at Tenerife, and there were two levels to it. It was the ground floor, and my abode where I was dwelling was on the first floor, on the top level, and I was living there, and it had all been gutted. It was a modest sort of a way of living, but it was lovely, and I knew that I lived there with my mum, and my girlfriend was there with me at the time. And my brother was staying with me as well at the time because his relationship had broken up. This is in the dream. And my girlfriend was sitting on the corner, and she was dressed. She's a very slight girl anyway, but she was dressed in a very feminine little frock. And she was sitting at this beautiful desk, but it was overladen with papers and files and different things like that, and she had just the corner to work on, and I was watching her just quietly working away on the corner of the desk, and I said to her, why don't you move all that stuff away, you know, and give yourself some space to work here and make it easier on yourself. And she said, oh, no, that's fine, I'm okay. And I looked at her, and she looked a lot smaller than what she normally looks to me. She's very tiny anyway, but she looked very demure and quiet, and I knew that she didn't want to make any waves or get in anybody's way, because it's like, oh, I don't want to do that, I just want to fit in and everything's going to be fine. So, and my brother was there with me, standing with me, and he looked different as well. He looked a lot younger than his years, and he was clean-shaven, and he has a beard and that, and he'd lost a lot of weight, but he looked fit, but he was very sad-looking and very composed. And I was standing with them, and I was looking outside the window of the building at another building that was exactly the same as the one that I lived in, which is a really old red brick building. But it was on the corner of the street, and I was looking on the side of the other building, and it was actually a hotel. And the frontage of the hotel was on the street that was going upwards, and it was fairly well tree-lined and beautifully lit in front of the hotel, but as it went up the hill, it went really dark and you couldn't see where it was going. But I was looking on the side of the building, which was facing our building, and I noticed that it had these horizontally rectangular windows that ran along the whole side of the building and had little red brick ledges under each individual window. And under the ledges, there were these red lines painted, these like underlined, under each window, except for a small section in the middle. And I looked at this section in the middle, and I knew that I had to finish this off somehow. And as in dreams happens, miraculously, I had this big wide paintbrush with red paint on it, and I reached outside my window, and I started to paint these lines under the ledges that hadn't had the lines under them. And I stood back and I looked at it, and I noticed that I thought to myself, oh, well, Regina, they're not really precise. The lines aren't as as neat and precise as all the other lines under the windows. And I thought, I'll go back there and really fix it up later. And I thought, no, you're always trying to do everything perfectly. You know, it doesn't matter. The job is finished. You know, that's the important thing. But I sort of looked at the lines there and I thought, oh, they're a bit sort of just uneven and a little, you know, sort of crude looking. And I thought, it's okay, the job's finished. And I went inside and I sort of thought to myself, we should go. I'll grab everybody. I'll grab my brother and grab my girlfriend. And we'll go to the hotel and we'll just get a break from this place for a little while. We're going to play a little bit of pool and have a couple of drinks and get ourselves a break. And I turned to my girlfriend and I said, hey, what do you think of this idea? She says, oh, yeah, whatever, that'll be great, that's fine. And I turned to my brother and I said to him, what about you? And he said, no, sis. He says, oh, I don't think so. And I said, why? And he said, oh, I don't know, you know, since the breakup of my relationship, he said, I just realised, he says, you know, how small in the scheme of things I was. So I just need to be careful from now on, just a little bit prudent. And I knew that he was talking about his sons, and I thought, well, that's really odd, because his wife is a woman that is a very kind-hearted, good woman, and she's very fair and loving, and I thought, she wouldn't do the wrong thing by him financially. But I thought, I guess she's got the kids to consider. The natural fact in life, they're quite all grown up and self-sufficient. And I sort of thought, oh, I'll just offer to pay for him. And he can come with us. But I knew suddenly that that was inappropriate. That he would probably feel worse about his situation by me offering to pay for him. And I knew I had to sort of respect his dignity. And but I was really sad because my brother is a very loving, very beautiful person. He's wonderful people skills. People love him. He's successful in what he does, very highly esteemed and regarded, and very caring person. And to see him that sad really made me sad in the dream, and that's how it finished.
Wow, what fantastic recall, Regina. That's absolutely amazing. And it's going to be quite interesting when people listen to your dream, because unbeknownst to you, your voice, your phone connection just slightly wavered 3 times, and we could hear what you were saying, but on each time that it wavered, it was when you were talking about your brother. So,
right?
Yeah, we're going to take that into account in the interpretation, because these things do happen sometimes. There are several bottom lines apart from the red paint underlining the ledges in your dream.
Yes.
it's an absolutely wonderful dream because it's full of a lot of emotion, and that helps with the interpretation, and it means that it's a dream that can actually, once interpreted, help you a lot too. And everybody in a dream represents something about you, the dreamer. And
yes.
So when you were really sad at the end there about your brother, and you said all the wonderful things about your brother, what a wonderful, caring, beautiful person he is, you're actually looking at yourself there, and you're saying, oh, there's something that I'm not allowing myself to do. Now, in the dream, what your brother wasn't allowing himself to do was basically to go out to play, you know, to go across to the hotel and play and relax and just have a good time. And sort of hang out a bit, which is what you said. And he was holding back from that because he had financial reasons, you know, not to do that. So when you're really sad in the dream, you're sad for a part of yourself that holds back from letting yourself just go out and play, a part of yourself that thinks, you know, I've got to, as you said about your brother, you said your brother's got to take other people into account. So in a kind of responsible way. So there's a part of yourself that doesn't let yourself go out and play because you think you've got to be responsible for other people. But by the same token in the dream, there's, you know, you in the dream are saying, yeah, let's go across to the pub, let's go out and have a play, let's relax for once. So there's a part of you, and the women in the dream are happy to go along with that, there's a part of you that is really ready to just play, to have, you know, party time, to relax, to go with the flow. And there's this other part of yourself that is holding back a bit. Now, if you then take that and put that in context of the buildings in your dream, you described the building that you were in as quite modest. And I know the area of Brisbane that you're talking about when you say Tenerife, it's a, and for those people that...
They're the old ancient wool shed buildings, you know, the red ones?
Yes, they're absolutely beautiful. Yeah. So they're buildings, for people listening here that don't even live in Australia, they're buildings which are heritage buildings that were once commercial buildings and have been renovated. Yes. They're quite small, they're absolutely beautiful, got lovely outlook over the river, haven't they? And
yes.
It's a very bustling, interesting go-ahead kind of community that live there too. So when you describe these buildings at the beginning of the dream, buildings also represent you, the dreamer. So what you're saying is you were living in buildings that were once old and been great heritage, have been renovated, you're living at the top, but they're quite modest buildings. So this is saying about you, about Regina. I feel I've done a lot of work on myself, you know, I've got great heritage, but I've kind of modernized myself, but I'm still quite modest and careful with how I am in life. And this is how, you know, this is what the dream is looking at. Well, it's saying, well, why are you modest? And if you continue through in your dream, there's the bit where the girl is taking up just a tiny, weeny little place at the table with all the papers, because she's really just taking up a tiny, weeny little modest space as well. Instead of taking up the space that she could really do with spreading out and working on, she's being a little bit too modest. And you notice that in the dream, and you say to her, why don't you give yourself a bit of space here, you know? So this is the main issue of the dream. It's you dreaming about, why do I sometimes not give myself the space that I deserve to really do what I need to do? Both in a work sense, because there was the girl with all the papers over the desk, you know, I need more space than this to really create and be what I want to be. And also more space to play, because that was the essence of going across the road to the pub. And then the people in the dream, for example, your brother will go back to your childhood. So, and your mum was in the dream as well. Was she,
in the background, I just knew that she lived with me, but I didn't see her in the dream.
Right. Now, isn't that true for all of us? In the background, yeah. All our mums and dads live way there in the background of our minds, reminding us of all the things they taught us when they were growing up. Was your mum rather sort of modest in the space that she used? Did she?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
She cared more for other people and...
Very much so, and took a backstage, very backstage. Yet, surprisingly, when she was a young girl of about 3, 4, up to the age of about 8 or 9, she was a movie star in Poland. So
uh-huh.
In movies, you know, she was like the Polish Shirley Temple.
Yeah.
But as a person, she was very, very... she let everybody else take centre stage, yeah.
Well, isn't that interesting? So,
amazing.
Yeah, she's backstage, and in the dream, she's in the background, you know, she's there. So
yes.
As with all of us, you know, parents or our guardians that bring us up, the beliefs they teach us and the things that they show us through the way that they are in the world go very, very deep. So there's still a part of you that is like your mum, that is... has beautiful, wonderful, charismatic things to do in the world's center stage, but behind the scenes tends to hold back, be too modest, give yourself not enough space to do the things that you're really meant to be doing here in the world. So I would suspect that you're probably not giving your talents and your very unique and special talents as much space as you should be giving them. And one of the other reasons that's pointed out in the dream, you point out in your own dream very beautifully, is you're looking out the window and you're looking at the buildings opposite. And by the way, notice that all this dream took place at night, so it's dark. And what that means
yes.
is you're this is really unconscious stuff. This is deep in your unconscious, like
okay.
you know, the stuff we can't really see about ourselves. It just kind of comes up a bit in dreams, but we're just maybe beginning to see this. So when you look across the road, you're looking at the other side of the street. It's almost like, well, that's the other side of how I could be. I'm on this side at the moment. What would life be like on the other side? And of course, the other side is playing, you know, shooting some pool, laying back. And the other thing that was absolutely beautiful was the way that you saw all these careful red lines, paint lines going down the side of the building and a little bit unfinished in the middle. And you just said, no, look, I'll finish this off and it doesn't really matter if it's not perfect and it's okay. And so that's your other big clue. It's like part of what's keeping you modest in really being center stage and really letting your talent show is a feeling that, but I've got to be perfect if I do that. I've got to have all the lines in the right place. Whereas in the dream is just showing you the beginning of thinking, no, maybe I don't have to be perfect. Maybe I can just introduce a bit of play. If the lines aren't straight, it doesn't matter. But, hey, at least I'm doing it. And the other little clue in your dream was that the girl that was taking up, the very demure girl that was taking up smaller and smaller amounts of space on the desk, because you particularly described her as demure, she's really the feminine side of yourself. So everything that's your female side, you know, your creativity, your expression, your spirituality, your inner world, those are the things that are that need more expression. And in the dream, even though she's diminutive to start with, she gets smaller and smaller. It's like you're giving this part of yourself less and less space.
She's also a person. The interesting part about her is that she's a person that needs that in real life. She needs an awful lot of attention. She's a person that really looks for attention and strives for attention and bursts about herself, and that she needs that constant praise and everything. But she has also in real life recently actually gone within herself a little bit more than I've noticed. So I thought that was interesting.
That's very significant, and it's doubly interesting, Regina, because what that shows is that on the one hand, it's she's going within to explore her need for space and why she needs space, and so that's something for you to explore too. But the fact that she you see her as someone who has a need for lots of attention and a need for being centre stage probably traces back to your mum. Now your mum probably had issues with that. Either she loved being centre stage and that's why she compensated the rest of the time, or she was very aware of the dangers of being centre stage, you know, the ego, and so she consciously, you know, pulled back from that. And you may have taken forward that a slightly skewed unconscious belief of, you know, if I go centre stage, if I really unfold my talents and develop them and show them to the world in the way that, if I really take my proper space, not my just my centre stage, but my proper amount of space that I'm due as a human being to express my talents in this world, then maybe I'll be perceived as being greedy for appreciation. You know, maybe I'll be perceived as all the things that you see about that woman in your dream. So that's part of your struggle.
Mm-hmm.
And when you name the struggle, it's no longer a struggle. You can overcome it. So are you ready to be centre stage without the egotistical elements of that?
Without the egotistical elements, it's true. That's what the fear comes up. You know, you just don't want to be out there and in everybody's face and being egotistical and being seen that way, you know. But I suppose it's the part of you that sort of feels constrained a lot too.
That's right, yeah. So, you've got that double thing then. So it's finding a way to go out there with realising that it doesn't have to be about ego. It's more to do with the world is waiting for you to play your part and show your talent, so go out there and do it. And yes, the other part, allowing yourself to do it, that, you know, play is good. When you're playing, you're often doing what you're meant to be doing in the world. So the way to the next step, Regina, you know, step one is understanding the interpretation, which you now do, and I'm sure a lot more pennies will drop when you're off the air as well. And step two, of course, is doing a dream alchemy practice. So what I suggest for your dream is to, while you're awake, visualize yourself walking it back in the dream, walking across the road, going into that lovely pub,
and
going in, enjoying yourself. Take your brother with you in the visualization, because we need to get that attitude loosened up.
Okay. Right?
And when you go into the pub, not only is it lovely and relaxing and you're shooting the pool and all the things you wanted to do in the dream, but have a little stage in your visualization. Build a little stage in the corner of the pub and get up onto the stage yourself and just do or perform what you think your talent is. You know, get up there and be, take the space that you're not quite stepping into at the moment, and bring up all the feelings about how wonderful that is. Not the feelings of any kind of ego, not the feelings of people clapping and applauding and say how wonderful you are, but just the wonderful feelings of thinking, here I am, claiming my space, doing what I'm meant to be doing, and hey, it feels really good. So do that visualization, making sure that, so what you're doing is changing the end of the dream, you know, making it all good, and really bringing up the emotions of how you want to feel when you're taking up the amount of space that you're meant to take up in all the best possible ways. And do that visualization, say 20 times a day for a week, and then just twice a day for a few weeks. And what you'll find is that you'll start to respond in the world and do things in the world that are a little bit braver and a little bit more centre stage and a little bit more playful than you've maybe done for a long time, and it will feel natural and it will feel good. Does that make sense?
Oh, right. Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
Well,
20 times a day?
Yeah.
I don't breathe that many times, do I?
You'll find, it sounds a lot, and you'll find that when after the first time when you've kind of worked out the script for your visualization,
yes,
and you've done it once, you'll find that you can actually do them very quickly. And the second time you do it, it'll take less than 30 seconds. Because your dream's already done it once, and you're just changing the ending. So you'll actually find it works quite well.
So I just take my brother with me.
Take your brother with you, because we want to transform him in the dream.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you so much for sharing your dream, Regina.
Oh, you're welcome. It's been a pleasure.
It's been a pleasure too. And there's another lovely dream. And just as I introduced at the beginning about all dreams bring unique, you couldn't get much more unique than that. Just look at all the detail that Regina recalled there. And whether a dream is long and detailed like Regina's or whether it's short, sharp and sweet, there's always something absolutely wonderful to be gained by working out what your dream is saying about you and how you can apply some dream alchemy to make some little transformations and have more of the life that you'd really rather have. So thanks for listening to another edition of The Dream Show. And you can find out more information about dream interpretation and analysis on my website at www.dream.net.au. And you'll also find my audiobook, 101 Dream Interpretation Tips. It's an excellent reference for dream interpretation, and it's also available from Lifestyle Pod Network. So for more information, visit my website or lifestylepodnetwork.com. And thanks for joining me today. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson, and I'll see you next time for The Dream Show.
If you've had a dream you'd like interpreted on this program, send your email to The Dream Show at lifestylepodnetwork.com. You can also follow Jane on Twitter at twitter.com/DreamSight. The Dream Show is a production of DreamSight Corporation for the Lifestyle Pod Network. You can find more great podcasts like this one at lifestylepodnetwork.com.